Welcome back to Big V Racing. Josh Julius will join us shortly. He's got Just Folk heading to Bendigo on Saturday in the Golden Mile. And George Farooj will also join us towards the end of the show with a host of Greyhound news off the back of those semi-finals of the heats of the Golden Easter Egg there at Wentworth Park on Saturday night. And I think we may have just seen the unearthing of the next superstar of Greyhound racing. So looking forward to chatting to Georgie shortly. But this weekend, Bendigo gets to host the Metropolitan meeting here in Victoria. It's Golden Mile Day there at Bendigo, and the CEO, Rob Hine, just joins us on the line now to have a chat about things. Hello, Rob.
Good afternoon, Matt. How are you?
Yeah, we're well, thank you. You've got two Matts here in the studio. Looking forward to the meeting on Saturday. This is a program that's grown and grown and grown over recent years, and it just fits lovely on the back of the Melbourne Autumn now.
Yeah, it does, and I think it's wonderful for the Bendigo community. I think it's great for regional racing across Victoria. And this year it's nicely in the calendar here locally between the end of the cricket season and footy kicking off next week as well.
Rob, you're relatively new to the job, and I don't think there's any more enticing project for a new CEO than to work out what the potential of the Golden Mile is. The only other one I can think of is the new CEO of the Warrnambool Racing Club gets to play around with the Jericho Cup and maximise its potential. But the Golden Mile, to me, has always been a bit of a sleeping giant that hasn't quite awoken yet. The community engagement was interrupted by COVID. It hasn't got a long history as yet. It's perfectly placed on the calendar. And I guess you've got a lot of thoughts about how this amazing race meeting, which, pardon me, I think is the best country race meeting that is put on in Victoria all year, how you can actually make it maximise what it can actually be. And you've got plenty of time to think about it. What are you expecting this year, and how big can this event become? And I'm thinking mainly about community engagement as well.
Yeah, look, I agree with you. I think it is a sleeping giant. And the trick that probably a lot of regional race clubs face, and all race clubs, is about how we best engage the different segments in the community. For us here, we know we've got a great venue. We know the track always races fairly. It's got a great reputation. It is positioned nicely in the racing calendar. We've still got great weather here in Bendigo at the end of March and start of April. So we need to really work on that engagement piece with the community. There's a large proportion of owners that will come up the highway for the day. So for us, you know, we want to build this from the 3,500, 4,000 patrons on course up above 5,000. So
can you aim higher? I mean, I know I'm getting a bit ahead of myself here, but I'm thinking Jericho's as well. Is it unreasonable to think that this sleeping giant in 4 or 5 years' time can get 8 to 10 through the gate?
I wouldn't think so. When you've got a community here of 120,000+ people in Bendigo, you need to be bold in terms of where we want to be. But we need to get our offerings right for the community. And you have to engage we've got the racing fan connected here. We've got to engage a broader community in the day.
Robbie, challenges of attracting an on-course crowd the same as Flemington, Caulfield and the other ones here, where a lot of it's about cost. Do you, with your catering and your the costs of putting the show on and paying everyone, is there much wriggle room to make it an affordable day out?
Yeah, we've had that conversation here a lot. I've been here for a couple of months, and, you know, those cost pressures are real in the community, and it is going to, you know, for a large section of the community, that will become harder. So disposable income and cost pressures are real, and we need to be able to price our offerings accordingly. So I think the days, particularly for regional venues, to have these high-priced premium offerings, that, you know, there's a market there for that, but if that's where you're expending all of your energy, you're probably not quite going to hit the mark. We've got to convert fans into patrons and fanatics around what we do. And here, where you've got a standalone Saturday, you know, we want people coming into Bendigo for the day, but we also want to make sure that we engage, you know, the 120,000+ people that live in this community.
Rob, there's an SMSer who wants to know if they can get buses going back to the town centre after the last race. Apparently, last year they had to walk 10 k's. That would have been, that's quite the walk after a big day at the races.
Yeah, no, that is, it'd be burning some calories, yeah. I reckon. So no, we're trying to make that as easy as possible. So there are buses running from Bendigo Station to the track from 11 o'clock in the morning, and then after the race is from about 4:45. So the second to last, or race eight on the card, there'll be buses departing here from 4:45 until really punters are out. So we'd imagine that will be for a couple of hours, but they'll run every half an hour. So, you know, we're really conscious of, again, probably to your point there, Matt, about making the day easy, making it accessible, you know, free bus, public transport there to get you off course back either the town or the train station. We've got to make that easier.
And the sells for me are, pardon me, it's such a gorgeous course with so much lawn and all that sort of thing. So you're going to have that lovely summery sort of experience. And it is a traditional, it's been around for a long time, the race course and the jockey club, hasn't it? So you've got that traditional attachment of the town to the racetrack. So the starting points are all there, aren't they, Rob?
But they are. And, you know, we're really conscious of that. We talk a lot about it here now, that there's 165 years of history here with racing in Bendigo. So, again, you need to refresh that. You don't lose the connection with the past, but ensure that what we are offering connects to those into now and into the future. So, you know, I think we've got a great canvas here. We're also, you know, we've been lucky. It would be remiss of me not to mention that Bernie Hopkins, the track manager here for the last 45 years, is winding up in the middle of the year. So this will be Bernie's last gold mile. But Bernie has been a key to the reputation of this venue and this track over the last 2 decades, really.
Hey, we're broadcasting. Simone Fisher, Dan Malecki and I are broadcasting Cracking the Codes and Race Day Mornings, 10 till 12, Windermere Hotel, which I think is just on the way into town there. We're trying to get a Greyhound competitor to come to the pub with us to meet some locals. Josh Julius is going to join us. We're going to ask him if he knows anyone who's got a racehorse that might want to come down and share a beer with the Greyhound, and we're looking for a pacer as well. So we're aiming high at the Windermere Hotel. So
beautiful.
If you can help out at all, Rob, it'd be like a petting zoo down there if we can get three codes represented.
Beautiful. I'm sure we can. If Jack Lyons, the chairman of the jockey club here, I'm sure he can make a lot of things happen in this town. So, I think that'll
get Jack onto the job, because he's coming down to the pub as well. So we need Jack on board here.
He is. Yeah, we'll see what we can rustle up for you. I've got a Labradoodle I could bring down there. It's not very fast. It would probably annoy you, but that'll be there.
Look, if we can't get a Greyhound, your Labradoodle's going to get the call up.
Done.
Good on you.
Good on you, Rob. Appreciate your time. Good luck with the meeting over the weekend.
Great. Thanks, Matt.